Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett. Welcome to Design Oracles again. We are going to talk more about our intimacy gradient, kind of one of our fun things to talk about. So we're going to get more into the more intimate spaces, which is children's realm, teen room, couples realm, and even talk about some communal sleeping rooms like bunk rooms and fun things like that.
Not like sister wives?
Just no. So we can start with the children's realm. So children always have a tremendous amount of energy, right? Once everyone's been around kids, whether you're watching other people's children, your own children, seeing them across the street, playing, you're always like, wow, if I could just bottle that, right?
Isn't can't live with them, can't live without them. You have to create a space in your home where you can live peacefully and happily with them.
Right.
And not go crazy and have them not go crazy. They deserve space too.
Yeah, so it's basically a space to release that tremendous amount of energy. And it typically makes up a continuum of spaces, right?
You can't contain them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they like to have a space in the kitchen because they can be near mom or dad or whoever's cooking.
Yeah, and the children we're thinking of that are younger kids, not mm-hmm. necessarily teens. We're going to get to the teens later because they don't want to be around you. But the children's realm is, you know, kind of – I know one thing – when my son was young, because he'd always be in the kitchen with me and he'd want to get into all those drawers. And I thought, oh, God, I can't childproof all of these things. So I ended up kind of creating his own drawer where he kept his own things that he could play with. And they were like kind of old plastic Tupperware items or things like that and some of his toys in there. And so then he would be totally content just stacking and doing whatever.
Yeah, I think it's important to consider in almost – well, whatever room you're really going to be spending time during the day with the young kids in, that they have some space that is theirs, that they you kind of can do, like mm-hmm. Diane's saying, trick them into thinking it's not necessarily their space. I did the same. I would put my kids on the kitchen floor, literally on the floor, mm-hmm. and give them maybe a bowl with ice to play with, mm-hmm. or sometimes I even gave a little bit of flour and water and let them finger paint. I knew that was it's a lot of cleanup, but they felt like they were part of what was happening in the kitchen.
Right.
And it was contained.
And they're also able to expound their energy
right.
in that activity, right?
And then the connection there would be having a play space that's separate from you, but that you can see into, maybe
mm-hmm.
a playroom, or creating, if you don't have an opportunity for an entire separate room for a playroom, maybe a play nook.
Yeah, trying to keep their play area organized. And they tend to kind of like to know that they have some defined type of space, you know, not necessarily defined by walls, but knowing that this is the corner where I keep all my toys in, or this is the area where I do all my artwork. And, you know, sometimes – I mean, it can be hard, especially if you don't have a big house. So
– yeah. Yeah, and it can be an eyesore, but, you know, it's for a short time.
It's temporary.
It doesn't last forever, which is hard to imagine when your kids are little, but it's true. So, yeah, that's true. They like parameters. They like mm-hmm. to understand the dimensions of the space that they get to participate in and store their things in and be creative in.
Mm-hmm.
And play tables are mm-hmm. a really big part of that.
Yeah, those are great. And, I mean, if you can get a toy room or a game room and a specific room where – you can store all their toys and have like a great big table where they can do all kinds of crafts and projects. Or like there's the Lego tables where you can build Legos on top of.
And leave them there. They don't have to be put away at the end of the day. They can be a project in the making or a puzzle. That's what's great about craft tables, that you can leave the Play-Doh kind of there on the table ready for them to go at any time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think of Montessori classrooms and how they were set
right.
up, how they're set up to allow for the child's activities and play, and also a place for them to be organized and put things away. And that gives peace of mind
mm-hmm.
to you and to them.
Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, they could be located in a spot where you can definitely try to have an eyeball on them and are in within earshot, so you can kind of know if someone's choking on one of those Legos or something like that, if you need to get really quickly to them. Or if they're at such a young age, you do always have to have a constant eyeball on them.
Yeah, and hand reach even. So the other thing that comes up a lot, I know Diane deals with this too, is clients want to have the ability to be in their, maybe in their kitchen or in their living room, some space where they can see their children playing outside.
That's another big aspect.
So, you know, a lot of times that's why we position sinks at windows overlooking the backyard, or sinks at an island overlooking the play space in the living room, so that you can feel like you're getting the things done you need to do in your home and making meals and also watching the children.
Right, yeah. And sometimes you want doors or openings off of that playroom, game room that goes and leads outside. So it's pretty easy for them to kind of come in and go, and then they're only getting those areas messy and dirty.
Yeah, yeah, and I think the thing to think about when you're planning those spaces is that connection. Putting, you know, I've had clients to say they want to put, oh, I want all my kids' stuff, their plastic toys, upstairs. In a separate playroom. And, you know, maybe they've just had kids and I'm ahead of them in the kid having game. And I say, okay, that's probably not realistic that they're going to go up the stairs to play or that so you really need to kind of just embrace that you need to take those things, have a little bit of play space in every area that the adults are going to be in when they're really little. And then as they get older, you can separate those spaces or make them more attractive. You know, I know that a lot of times when we're doing designing living rooms, we'll put a game table in a place, a beautiful kind of grown-up looking game table that a kid can use that later on turns into a game table for adults for playing Scrabble or Monopoly, or and then later on a cocktail table for when you're having a party. So there are ways, if you plan well, for not only the way the rooms are laid out, but the furnishings that go in it, they can be multifunctional.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like big sofas that are comfy to sit on and read a book and snuggle up to you if they want to read, or, you know, things like that too, I think, right?
Yeah, I think we get the comment a lot that people want a space that they can be right next to their child at night when they're reading to them, so they can help them with the getting to bed. So maybe it's a settee or a double wide chair in the kids' room or a rocker. Yeah, those connection, those spaces where you can physically be close to one another at the end of the day, and particularly kind of helping kids learn how to go to sleep and all of those kind of child development things. And so they just make – considering those things just make for a happier household all around. And, you know, it is a short time. Maybe those chairs, those double-wide chairs are not exactly the aesthetic you're going for, but they don't have to live with you forever. I will say that, you know, I've redesigned my kids' rooms a couple of times. They're 13 and 15 now. And over the years, their needs and wants changed. They went from sharing a room with twin beds, with a play space in between, to needing their own separate spaces with reading chairs and bookcases and desks. And then the desks kind of went away when they weren't doing their homework at them any longer, and they became just a collection spot. So I think one thing when you're designing for the children's realm is to consider it changeable.
Yes, and I was going to say, talking about their actual sleeping rooms where they sleep, that is constantly changing. And, you know, in the beginning, you want to make sure it can be really quiet, and some people like the blackout shades, and, you know, just really make sure they get really good quality sleep so they can have that tremendous burst of energy through the day.
Yeah, right? For sure. And you can, too, if you're sleeping well. Years ago, when we were designing a young teen's room, I remember the parents' request was that we make the room very quiet for them because the sound was traveling through the house the kids were making. So we ended up putting, you know, a sheet of cork on the backs of the doors in the room that they could use to pin up their art, but also it was a sound absorption efficiency. A lot of upholstery in those rooms can be helpful. We've even done, you know, upholstered walls in kids' rooms. Just create these panels. They're not actually as complicated as it sounds, and it makes for a very quiet, very cozy sleeping room.
Yeah, right.
The other thing is, don't take it too seriously. for kids' rooms. You know, I worked for someone once who said, I do not decorate for teenagers. But the thing is, you know, kids, they grow up, they change, and they want what they want, and they want to feel some control over their space. And mm-hmm. so maybe that's not the space you spend the money, a lot of money. You know, you can buy more interchangeable things.
Right, yeah.
Things that are less of an investment.
Less mm-hmm. expensive chairs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christmas Definitely. Lights strung up, et cetera. So I think just taking that not as seriously and letting them have some control over their space can help. And kind of eventually they'll spend a lot of time in their rooms. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening with my kids now. They go in, shut the door, and I don't see them for hours.
Yeah. And then, like you had said, bookcases, and sometimes, you know, there's things where they want to display their – maybe it's clay projects from school. Yeah, different things that they might have made in art class, different types of posters they'll go through of different things they like. And so it's just constantly interchanging. And the bookcases I also think are great. You could just get, you know, some inexpensive ones, and then they're able to decorate it however they want, and they can keep changing it, and they can keep their books.
Or... Yeah, my kids have stickers all over the side of their bookcase. I mean, you know how mad I would be if it was a real antique or a real piece of furniture, but it's not, so I cannot worry about it. One thing that I know has come up many times for us when we're designing is creating a space for the kids together, maybe with babysitters or nannies, and have a separate space to get snacks. You know, an important thing to think about is, and I think Diane mentioned this later on in our notes when we were talking about this, is having a space for maybe a beverage refrigerator or a little under-counter refrigerator in a separate area. We've done rooms where if the kids are going to be sent upstairs with the babysitters, a section of a room maybe gets turned into a little kitchenette, a little mm-hmm. miniature kitchenette. So because everybody needs snacks, and kids especially, and maybe a little sink for hand washing, and a little refrigerator, some beverage fridge, some snack areas, that kind of thing, a television, some sort of entertainment area. It almost becomes kind of media room, playroom, kitchenette. Like a separate section of the house.
Yeah, that can be really helpful, especially if you need the downstairs. I think that was in that house where they had a lot of entertaining going on for business meetings and things. And so we had to create a space upstairs that would allow for nannies or babysitters to help get, you know, quick dinner prep or meal prep ready for them.
Yeah, and then just as we're talking about this intimacy gradient, I've been dealing with a lot of clients that have au pairs as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's thinking about that room, it comes to mind that is another kind of opportunity for yet a different type of person in your household, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like it's not your relative, mm-hmm. but they're closer than, sometimes they're even closer than your relative in the way that you interact with them and their care of your child. So I have a client now who, you know, we have a secret door, like a James Bond door, a phantom door, a jib door that is built like a bookcase, and it opens up into a nanny or an au pair's room mm-hmm. with a separate little kitchenette and a bathroom. So that's another interesting kind of intimacy gradient thought, is kind of where do you incorporate people that are temporarily in your home for a few years at a time.
Yeah, definitely. And they kind of want to make sure they have their own space when they're not having to watch the kids, so they can at least just get away. And like we said, all of us know we love children dearly, but sometimes all that energy, you're just like, whew.
Yes. You need a space to retreat from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, as they get older and then they become teens and you don't need that au pair room anymore, maybe. And, yeah, you can start to develop more game rooms. There's more, you know, sometimes we have a lot of clients that say, well, I really want my child and their friends to hang out here. I don't want them going to someone else's house. So I really want to make it comfortable for them. And so we create these pretty big, elaborate game rooms. And we have foosball table, ping pong, billiard table. We definitely have kind of not necessarily a bar for alcohol, but like a bar for snacks and drinks, and just making it so they're really comfortable there. They all want to sleep over, so we have lots of big, comfy sofas. There's room for that. We have a game table. Sometimes it becomes an area where also they might do their homework or projects, the science project. music.
Yeah, I think it's important to think about, and a lot of parents do, they want their kids with them. They want them home for as long as they can, as opposed to going to somebody else's house. So a lot of parents do really want to make their spaces extremely comfortable for the teens. Mm-hmm. And they need, like Diane says, a sense of independence and a sense of separateness from you. But you still need somewhat of an eye or at least an ear on them. Sometimes if you have a pool or an outdoor space that you want them to be able to connect to, it's important. Maybe some sliding doors, a separate entrance and exit so that they can go in and out and just have that sense of independence and privacy. So when you're planning a house or a space in general, thinking those things through. How do I make the other members of the house that are younger mm-hmm. feel comfortable in their own home?
Yeah. We have one project. It was kind of a remodel we did, and we created a game room, and it's kind of tucked. It's actually at the front of the house, but it's tucked away from all the other kind of living areas. So it could also act as a future guest room. But for now, it's going to be the game room, teen room. And they have to pass through the main public family kitchen area to get to the pool, but they kind of like that. So then they know when they're
what's
going
happening
in and out and all that kind of stuff.
In my house, we have my kids spend a lot of time in their rooms, separately in their rooms. We've got a little piano area in the front of the house that they will retreat to play on the piano, not, you know, in any formal way, but just tinkering. And then we've got a TV room, an old-fashioned TV room. Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we don't even call it the media room. It's just the TV room. But it has a door on it. So that is and we don't have a television anywhere else, just that one room. And what I like about that is it does keep the mess and the noise all in one area.
Mm-hmm.
It is in a hallway that I have to pass through to get to my bedroom. So I can see what's going on. I can hear what's going on when they have their friends, but I can also shut the door and they can be private. And I think that's another thing to consider. So I know a lot of people want their television out where the family uses it, but maybe consider having a separate television in a separate room. And kids these days don't really watch television, but they play video games or they interact with their Wii U or whatever it is, and they want their friends together around that. So creating that separate space that's not maybe in their bedroom, ideally, but separate from what the family's doing is a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty fun, the old TV room. I mean, it's the same kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? The game room, the
mm-hmm.
TV room.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the teen room.
Pizza boxes.
Yeah. Soda cans. Another thing I want to talk about on that, though, is also built-in lounge areas.
Yes.
Because we're doing that mm-hmm. in another house where mm-hmm. we're kind of creating these built-in, they're not necessarily beds, but they're really comfortable hang out, lounge, lay down, watch TV in, right?
Yeah, they're sort of day beds, I guess, in a way, built into the wall,
mm-hmm.
Sort of a little larger than twin size, which provides a lot of mixed-use activity. So it can be a place that if you're having a sleepover, the kids can gather and everybody has a spot to crash. It can be a place for if someone's not feeling well, and they want to sleep separately from everybody else. Maybe just one of the family members wants to pop out, or maybe it's a place to nap as well. That would be a good spot to nap in. It's somewhat connected to the bedrooms. It's outside of the bedroom, so it doesn't have a door, so it's kind of open and communal. But at night, when everyone's sleeping, it could feel very tucked away and nice and quiet. So
mm-hmm.
it provides a lot of multi-use function.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of those, right?
Yeah, we like that opportunity to kind of it wouldn't be in the front of the house. It might
right.
be at the back or upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We've done these kind of built-in comfortable beds that make you feel very secure and cozy and can be less formal than a sofa,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Well, you can also add the bolsters and pillows
mm-hmm,
and all that.
Mm-hmm. Bolsters and pillows and maybe some side tables built into the wall too. So everything
mm-hmm.
feels very integrated and gives you an opportunity for different types of activity. I mean, that is a great nanny, babysitter, hangout area with the kids for entertaining
mm-hmm.
and maybe a game table in that space as well.
So sometimes we end up doing these communal sleeping rooms as well, especially like bunk rooms. I've designed a number of those. like you said, how your kids used to sleep together. Sometimes when they're little, they all like to sleep in the same room. I know I had one family member, they had three boys, and all three boys slept in one bedroom when they were little together. It was really cute. So, you know, sometimes we're designing rooms like that. Or maybe it's at the grandparents' house where the grandchildren are coming to visit for one overnight or a weekend, or maybe it's a week. And they love to have just one room where there's they can put all the kids and it's communal sleeping and toys. And because you usually don't have as much of that stuff at your grandparents' house.
Yeah, and we've done vacation houses where we've added sort of an entire wall dedicated to bunk beds for grandkids and sleepovers. And even adults, if they're big enough, can sleep there if it's just for a few nights. Maybe it's at their lake house or the beach house. I know when my kids were little and I used to visit my brother who had a beach house, they had a whole family communal sleeping room because the kids were little. So there was a queen-size bed for the adults and then some bunk beds for the younger kids, for the family's kids to sleep. And so, you know, as the kids got older, then, you know, we migrate into a different section of the house. And then they would take over that room entirely and have plenty of sleeping opportunities. So communal sleeping is, you know, functional for short term if families all need to kind of bunk together, or it's Thanksgiving and the cousins are there, or if it's at the grandparents' house and they need to entertain a lot of people, they don't have a ton of space. So creating these really comfortable, and I think we've all seen those fabulous Airbnbs everybody loves that have a bunk room and everybody wants that. It seems like a fun thing. And it's great for a short term. It really is. Whether it's a few years when the kids are little or if it's just for a vacation house. But those rooms tend to be extremely popular.
Yeah, I just met with a family and they have four boys and they all sleep in one giant bunk room and it's all built in. It's really cool, really designed well. However, one of them is now a teen and the other's becoming a teen. And so they were wanting us to look at how to change everything and get everyone their own bedroom. So as they start to become teens, they definitely want to have their own space. But in the beginning, a lot of times they love to have those fun communal sleeping areas.
Yeah, and this brings to mind something that I've been thinking about recently because we're working on a project where we're doing adding an upstairs sort of flex space on a house with a Jack and Jill bathroom with the bedrooms on either side for that next phase of these kids' lives where they're going to move upstairs into a separate space away from their parents as they're able to, but they still want that connection with their sibling through the bathroom. Like it's a separate passage. Another client we're building, we are actually putting a secret door at the back of a closet so that the kids can go from their bedroom to the sibling's bedroom. So, so that just thinking it through sort of that connection, it's separate but together, you know, families, want their own space, but they also really like, you know, oftentimes to be together. And I know my kids have a separate wing of the house now. So we started out in a house where they had a playroom and that we all slept together in one room as a family because we were those hippie parents. And then the kids moved into twin beds into the playroom together and it became a bedroom. And then that bedroom turned, that communal bedroom turned into a single bedroom for my son and my daughter moved into the smaller room. And then we moved houses and now they have their own separate wing in the house. That sounds a little elaborate. It's not that elaborate, with a bathroom in between. And it's interesting because they'll hang out together in the hallway and the hallway has a separate door that can close. And so all of these kind of tiers of separate and yet togetherness is kind of interesting for families because it does create that separate realm where maybe when certain friends come over, they'll invite their friend to our TV room, but they won't invite them into their little haven, their separate brother-sister haven with the hallway passage in between. But their closer friends that they've been friends with since they were in preschool, those kids are used to sleeping in their bedroom when they've come over for sleepover. So those kids are invited in. So it's the same kind of intimacy gradient, but seeing that happen and play out with my kids is interesting how they start learning to interact really with people at different levels.
That's cool. Fun to watch.
Yep, for sure.
And, you know, sometimes I've had some clients where the families, like, every Friday night they sleep together in the bedroom. And so they have, you know, they're putting pallets on the floor and they all watch a movie together or something. So sometimes when we're designing, we have to make maybe the master bedroom, just make sure we can sleep all these bodies.
For sure. Yeah. And it's funny that you say that, because the same couple were building the upstairs space for that'll have the Jack and Jill with the bedrooms connecting. They have in their master bedroom at the end of their bed a very large sofa that is the sofa for the children to come in and crash on, because they're little now, when they're not sleeping well. Maybe mm-hmm. they've had a nightmare or they have a fever. And there was a discussion, a husband and wife discussion, about getting rid of it. And the wife put her foot down and said, absolutely not. We're going to let this thing do its time until everybody's too old to really need that kind of comfort and connection to the mom and dad. So,
right. Yeah. So I think all this talk about kids and teens, so the couples really like to have their own space, even though sometimes they have their overnights, or there's the hippie family like you that everyone sleeps together in the beginning.
Yep.
But, I mean, basically the kids are going to grow up and they're not going to sleep with you forever, and you're moving, you know, you really want to create a nice space for yourself. And, you know, a lot of times we usually have a king-size bed and nice bedside tables. And, you know, I think last time we had talked about a nice little seating area for coffee in the morning with mm-hmm. a nice view, or having ample closet space, nice bathroom, and just kind of creating a retreat, right?
Yeah, you don't want to forget yourself. A lot of times that's the last thing people think of. They'll focus on the kids and the public spaces, and they don't take care of their own private realm. So it's important to really design that and think about it as soon as you can get your head around it. As soon as your kids grow up a little bit and you've got some time and space, maybe that's a connection to the outside, to the backyard, to a balcony, to a little porch area that's private, just to give you that 5 minutes of meditation in the morning with your coffee before the household wakes up. Or mm-hmm. I know I have a chaise in my master bedroom, and when I retreat there, everybody follows me, first of all. But it is kind of nice because I can have little private conversations. Maybe the kids come in one at a time and we chat, or if my husband comes in and he wants to have a conversation about his day, you know, we can shut the door and have a little private time and a comfortable upholstered seating to sit on and be together. And so it does create for different environments for different types of conversations. You know, you're not going to talk about everything in every room. You know, you've got these separate spaces that families need to communicate with different types of relationships and at different points in your relationship. With maybe my son's having some issues at school and he needs a little private time. He doesn't want his sister to be involved in that conversation. That happens a lot. Or my husband wants to tell me about, like I say, something about his day, or there's an issue with the kids he wants to talk about, and you want that private, separate space, or just a place to be alone.
Yeah, or also for the couple.
Oh, yeah.
And keeping it, you know, a lot of times we always make sure we have insulation around the master bedroom walls and the bathrooms. And just having that sound privacy is also really nice, you know, whether you're sitting there quietly or whether you're doing other things.
Yeah, but nice lock on the door would be good when you have kids.
Or maybe, you know, you don't have kids anymore. They've all left. And you just want to have this nice master suite retreat area, well as having the other area of the house.
Are we going to do a show about a couple sleeping in separate rooms? That's like, yeah. And I think a big debate that Diane and I both talk about with people is TV or no TV.
Oh, right. Yeah. Everybody's got their own thing about that, mm-hmm. whether it's in their bedroom or not.
Mm-hmm. Some couples, that's how they spend their alone time together, is like they watch a show. Maybe they're binging something together on Netflix, and that's mm-hmm. how they decompress at the end of the day. Other couples feel like that's absolutely unheard of, and they would never want a television in their room. So it's different for everybody about you want to think about what kind of space you want to carve out for yourself, mm-hmm. whether it's a little bit of separateness from everyone, whether it's a couple's moment, or you want to make sure you provide for that, a place to come together. And then connections, whether that's connected to the outside or, you know, I've often been dreaming about having a coffee maker in my little vanity area so that I don't have to go to the kitchen to get coffee in the morning as I'm getting ready.
Sometimes we do that in the master suite areas. We had mm-hmm. designed one house where we had all of the master suite upstairs, and we even had a sitting area with a coffee bar. We had a little yoga studio room. We had the master bedroom. We had a fireplace with a balcony off of it. So it was the ultimate retreat, yeah. Right? And they really wanted to get away from their busy life of all their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how many they had, but it was quite a few.
Yeah, I think it was seven. It was a lot. Yeah, it was a lot
so,
of kids.
Yeah, I totally got why they felt like they needed to get away.
Yeah, and I feel like we should probably do a whole show on master bathrooms because – so just mentioning it here because master bathrooms, you know, everybody has – right now we're doing one that has a steam shower in it in a wet room that has a regular shower, a steam shower, and a tub all inside sort of a wet room for this – for this couple who that's how they decompress is basically mm-hmm. spending time in their bathroom. And they really wanted a connection to their closet that is very leisurely for dressing and it's very open and there's mirrors and there's plenty of natural light. And you pass through the bedroom to get to that bathroom. So it's sort of another tier of separateness, another realm.
Right.
So and closets and how does that, you know, I know another thing we bring is almost as big of a debate as TV or no TV is whether the closet is open to the bedroom or connected to the bathroom. Do you have an opinion on that, Diane?
I usually like to kind of make a vestibule between the two that connects mm-hmm. the closet to the bathroom to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the ideal if you have the space. I always think that's the best.
And that's when you get into the discussion of who gets up first and –
Yeah. Well, then there is sometimes, you know, or like we've got doctors that are working, you know, night shifts and they need a lot of quiet, sound privacy through the day. And so we have to think about that. And maybe there's another entrance to get in. Like I remember one client, she got up really early and would go exercise. And so she wanted like a door out of her closet that didn't go through the bedroom. And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of discussions that happen about how you get ready and who's getting dressed when and
mm-hmm. everybody's kind of thing. Sleeping arrangements are really important.
And then sometimes in the closets, sometimes people want like a vanity table where they can sit and do their makeup and jewelry and all that kind of stuff too. So sometimes there's that. Do we want windows in there? No
mm-hmm.
windows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're planning out closets, we get into a lot of extensive detailed discussion about what type of clothes you have and what you want to store and how you like to hang or fold and mm-hmm. how many boots do you have. So
we have a client right now who actually has a large enough closet that she's got an exercise bike in there
because mm-hmm.
She's got some natural light. She's got a window and she's got a little television so she can have her own realm, close the doors from the master, from the hall to the master to the bathroom. The bathroom to the closet, go through all of those doorways and have a really quiet, actually quite beautiful, private, separate space where she can exercise, take a shower, get dressed, and just have a lot of peace and quiet before she interacts with the rest of the household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we probably should talk about master baths and closets.
In another show.
Another show.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's everything we have talking about. Children's realm, couples realm, teen room. Communal sleeping, lots
Thank
of fun
you.
Things.
Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.